I know he came here to say, if you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. Going
down. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting ready for the Browns and the Steelers. Week 10, unbelievable. We're already in double digits. Week 10 of the NFL season kicks off tonight in the Rex Ryan Bowl. The Jets and the Bills doing battle in New York. So that certainly will be at least a Thursday night game with some stories, with some intrigue there. Another division game on Thursday
and
night.
And as at the start of the season, I had mentioned, and I know that's a team that is maybe looking to get back on track in the Miami Dolphins in that division with Dan Campbell as their head coach. But I always thought with the Patriots being the cream of the crop, not only in that division, but in the AFC, they would, of course, win their division and probably get the number one seed. But I really do still think a second team is going to come out of that division. And most likely, as we sit right now, and I know the Jets are ahead of that curve, it looks like the Jets, but could very well be the Bills and teeter-totter on their head-to-head matches, which is one tonight.
It certainly is an interesting game for the Browns. Interesting as well. We don't know yet who the quarterback will be, although we are expected to find out that quarterback decision later today. That's certainly, at least that's what the hope is, that later today Mike Pettine will make that decision. Keep it tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for the latest on that. In Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger says he will practice today. And if he does, I say that significantly increases the likelihood that he will play Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. He's ahead of schedule. He was supposed to be in a walking boot, not in a walking boot, and is expected to practice today for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's an injury update there for you as it relates to this game.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting. And I think just goes to show that Mike Tomlin, who is, of course, you know, always been known as a disciplinarian, but also a true, true player's coach. And I think that his relationship, as we see on the sideline, when in uniform, when out of uniform, Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin have a great relationship together. And I believe that at 5-4, and the way in which the AFC playoff picture sets right now, they can't essentially get to 5-5 and lose to the Cleveland Browns and expect to run off, you know, four of the next six to essentially try and guarantee their spot, or even five of the last six. They don't want to back themselves into a corner by losing a game that they should win. Minus Le'Veon Bell, minus Ben Roethlisberger. That's why that line's in that, what, four and a half range to a 2-7 football team. But with Ben, I would not be surprised when declared to play that if that line does not increase to 6, 7, 7.5.
Oh, it'll easily go over a touchdown.
Okay.
I would totally agree with you.
I was trying to be nice.
Easily it will go over a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger at home. They were at home. They were 6.5-point favorites last week. Same building against the Raiders, who I would imagine has much more clout in Las Vegas at this moment than the Cleveland football Browns. But here we are on this Thursday, and Thursdays, I like it. There's always some nice structure to the show. It's an opportunity to listen to the coordinators of the Cleveland Browns, and we'll have them for you here today. Starting off at 1:30, we'll hear from embattled defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill as this defense looks to try to get back on track against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then at 2 o'clock, we'll hear from offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, and I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about his offense's second-half struggles and how they can try to fix that going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's at 1:30, O'Neill. We'll follow that up with our position-by-position breakdown of the Steelers' defense versus the Browns' defense, see where we feel the advantage lies. 2:15, it will be John DeFilippo, and then we'll break down the offenses. And maybe by that time, we'll have a little bit better idea about Josh McCown, a little bit better idea about Ben Roethlisberger as well, as those things, you know, those are key moments on this one. And right now, it does seem as though he is going to give it a go. He's out of the boot. Pro Football Talk saying unlikely to play, but the idea coming out of Pittsburgh is that he is expected to practice today and wants to go ahead and get after it and play this weekend.
And the point that I made yesterday about Landry Jones relying on a very solid run game, that's a lot of what Pittsburgh does, so that's going to still be the same with Ben Roethlisberger. But me talking about Landry Jones or backup quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, really force feeding the football to their playmakers, the people that they know are great, Antonio Brown, the big target in Martavis Bryant, throwing it up there, winning the 50-50 ball. When you get Ben Roethlisberger knows this offense very well, and Todd Haley's very comfortable with Ben Roethlisberger. So what changes is, and I, as I always mention, a percentage guy, when you have Ben Roethlisberger, you got to be ready for 100% of what the Pittsburgh Steelers can do because he can grasp and understands that offense. When you get a guy like Landry Jones, you might have to deal with 50, 60% of that playbook. Because an offensive coordinator is going to create a game plan and then call plays that suit Landry Jones' sure. skill set and mental capacity to the best of his ability in that game to win one football game.
You're exactly right. And when I just look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team and I look at what's on the docket for them, they've got the Browns, then they have their bye week. So I think if Ben Roethlisberger feels like he can get out there, he's going to have 2 weeks to heal up to get ready for Seattle, which will be a big game. And I think this is one, when they look at it, as you talked about, for their opportunity to make the playoffs, it's one that they must have. They cannot afford to let the Browns come into Pittsburgh and beat them on Sunday.
No, I mean, again, as you mentioned, bye week, then at Seattle is going to be a tough trip. AFC opponent, Indianapolis Colts, at home, you know, on Sunday Night Football. Then they go at Cincinnati, Denver, at Baltimore, at Cleveland. So as you look at your schedule as a fan, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 of your last 7 football games are against playoff, like division winners or playoff contenders or Super Bowl contenders for that matter, the Colts, the Bengals, the Broncos, and of course the Seattle Seahawks are still in the mix out there in the NFC West. The only three games of that 7 that might not be are Cleveland, Baltimore, and the second game against the Cleveland Browns as well.
You're exactly right, and that's why it looks like that this is one that they might pull out all the stops. They've got 2 weeks to get ready for. And for the Browns, it's a great opportunity to try to get a win headed into their bye week and play a little spoiler for the
yes.
Steelers. This could really be a serious dent in the playoff aspirations of the Pittsburgh Steelers if the Browns can go out there and get this victory on Sunday. And if they do it, they're going to have to be better on defense. They're going to have to be better on offense. They're going to have to go out there and get the job done against a Steelers team that, as you said, brings a lot of talent on offense. D'Angelo Williams did something that nobody since Walter Payton has done, running for over 170 yards at that age. They've got the reliable Heath Miller. Marcus Wheaton had big games against the Browns last year. You've got Antonio Brown. You've got Martavis Bryant. And then they've got a defense that's starting to make plays.
And getting healthy.
Getting healthy. Now, it's interesting. They were able to hold down the Cincinnati Bengals to just 16 points. But then the very same week later, they gave up 35 to the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
The difference is the Raiders are able to attack you in ways that the Browns currently are not.
Right.
With that vertical passing game led by Derek Carr. We know about Michael Crabtree. We know about Amari Cooper. Then they've got the young running back, Latavius Murray, who's played very well also. So this is going to be a tall challenge for the Cleveland Browns, obviously, when you go against a team like the Steelers that has had so much success against you. But you've got to figure out a way to go up there and get the job done. When you talk about a team where the Browns are right now, and you talk about your bye week coming up after this, as a player, knowing that it's a rivalry game and then knowing you get a full 2 weeks off before you have to play football game, again, does that change your preparation? Does that change anything about what you feel that you can give on Sunday?
It does. It does not change your preparation, because that would, again, kind of knock the fact. Is your check smaller based on the effort that you give? No, the check remains the same. So you'd expect the effort to remain the same, whether before a bye week, after the bye week. But I would think from a game plan, and this is coming off an extra few days as well, you know, with a Thursday nighter prior to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so we have more time, you know, and I think we take on that all-in mentality sure. in regards to pulling out all the stops to go on the road in a tough place to play, division opponent, get a win, and that, as I always talk about, the carrot that dangles in front of your face, you know, for a good team, but in front of a bye week to get an extra couple days off, I'm not necessarily saying the Browns deserve it or they don't, but the carrot is go all in, get a win, and have a good feeling when you do, in fact, have those few days off and allow you to step away from the building, step away from the game for a day, 3 days, 5 days, I don't know, whatever they're going to get off, and allow you to feel refreshed and confident in who you are so that when you do come back, it's the mentality of, well, let's finish what we started, because I know, if I know anything about the competitors that are throughout the National Football League, and we have competitors on this football team. Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, Desmond Bryant, Randy Starks, these guys, these vet guys, the one thing that you don't want to do is have the ups that Dante Whitner's had in his career being drafted, what, ninth overall, sixth overall, go to, you know, multiple, you know, NFC championships out there in San Francisco, and finish his career here in Cleveland the way he has. It leaves a bad taste in his mouth. It leaves a bad taste in the perception of Dante Whitner and his legacy
sure.
as a National Football League player. So what you want to do is you want to come back and play well. And, you know, and I'm not trying to say by any means that anybody's time here is done, but you want to finish it on a high note and be associated with success and finishing what you started.
Absolutely, you do. And here's an opportunity to take a step towards that against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a big rival for your organization. Did you play in Thursday night games?
One.
Do you remember how you felt the following week when you had the 10 days? Does it make a difference in the way that you feel physically?
It does. And at the time, the only Thursday night game that I might have played in two, but the one that I recall was during my time out in San Francisco. We played the Chicago Bears on a Thursday night football game. And actually, again, Takiyo Spikes got hurt. I played, you know, every snap in the second half at inside linebacker after being with the club for like 2 weeks and all the special teams. And we weren't competing for a playoff spot. But I promise you this, in that NFC West, which is full of rivals, as every division should be, the Arizona Cardinals with Kurt Warner at the time were the cream of the crop. And we wanted to do everything we could to spoil their opportunity to just roll past us into the playoffs. And I think that's the mentality you have to have. First of all, you're playing for yourself individually and your contract and your standing with the club, first and foremost. And then collectively as a part of a team, doing your part, playing your role for that team, not doing more and definitely not doing less. And then collectively, if you have enough guys on board, in some case, it should manifest a winning product, a winning performance, I guess you could say. And that's where what we see from this point forward from the Cleveland Browns has that you get a strong understanding of where the mentality of the leaders and the coaches are.
Absolutely.
If they come out slow again, if they struggle in the second half again, all their deficiencies thus far this season, which has led to a lot of losses, have still not been addressed and fixed.
Absolutely. The Browns will have some new players playing this week as well, as you're going to see Glenn Winston for the first time at running back, and you're going to see Charles Gaines, who you remember played very well towards the end of the preseason, had the interception against Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that week three of the preseason. They're excited. They think he can play outside and inside, and they certainly expect to get him some snaps this Sunday. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. But listen, this defense as a whole, as a collective, needs to find a way. It's not one person. They're probably not going to have Joe Hayden, probably not going to have Dante Whitner, it seems like, as they remain in the concussion protocol so close to the game, that it's a defense that needs to step up, and everybody's got to find a way to do better than they've done before.
It definitely does. And the one thing that is most frustrating to me as a defensive player, and I understand that there are paid professionals on the other sideline as well, and they get paid to beat you and go out and win football games. But the one frustration that I have when it comes to just speaking of the defense is in football games thus far through 9 weeks, we haven't taken away, okay, if a team likes to run the football, let's at least limit them through the passing game and then, you know, really reel in our focus on stopping the run. Or vice versa, if a team doesn't run the football that well, let's take away their pass, you know, blitz their passer and force them to run the football. We don't take up. There's the same push and pull that I talk about, the three aspects of football, offense, defense, special teams. They're not all going to fire at the same time.
Right.
And it just seems that every offense that we play seems to do just enough in one facet and really well in another that we can't just stop them in one thing to make them be one-dimensional, that they have the balance that in some cases our offense is struggling with because we've become so predominantly a passing football team.
Yes, we certainly have. All right, when we come back, we're going to open it up to your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty 40. You can tweet the show at Browns_Daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35 as well. And when we come back, we're going to talk to you and kind of continue our preparations. Defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill at 1:30 CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.